Hi, everyone. You're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb, and I'm your host, Carrie Diamond, coming to you from Rockefeller Center in the heart of New York City. Each week, we talk to the coolest culinary personalities around, the folks shaping and shaking up the food scene. Today's guest is actor Jeremy Allen White. A lot of you know Jeremy from the show Shameless, but he is joining us today to talk about the new FX show, The Bear, which is currently streaming on Hulu. Jeremy plays a rising star chef named Carmi, who returns to Chicago to run his family's struggling restaurant.
What's up?
Can I just, like, ask you a question, maybe?
Of course, yeah.
I know who you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you're the most excellent CDC at the most excellent restaurant in the entire United States of America. What are you doing here, I guess?
Making sandwiches.
If you know the restaurant world, and I know a lot of you do, you will be amazed at how they nail elements of restaurant culture, from the camaraderie to the stress and pressure, and by how they get so many little details right.
Chef, no, please, please do not touch that.
This is the one time you listen to me. Please do not touch that. That's been going for 12 hours, okay?
That's my pot, Jeff. Everybody knows.
That's her pot. Use another pot, please, chef, all right? Corner!
I found myself sobbing. 2.5 episodes in, and episode 7 so captured the chaos that can ensue when things go wrong in a restaurant that I felt like I was going to pass out. But I swear, The Bear is uplifting. Not only is Jeremy tremendous, but so is the whole cast, especially Ayo Edibiri, who plays the young sous chef Sydney, and Liza Colone Zayas, who plays the kitchen veteran Tina. If you watch The Bear, let me know what you think. DM me or leave a comment on our show page. Jeremy will be joining us in just a minute. This episode of Radio Cherry Bomb is supported by Kerrygold, the makers of beautiful butter and cheese made with milk from Irish grass-fed cows. You know that quality ingredients make a big difference when cooking, baking, and putting together a meal. With Kerrygold, you can truly taste the difference. I know countless bakers and chefs who swear by Kerrygold butter for their baked goods, and I'm a huge fan of their cheeses for cheese boards, for salads, and for including in recipes like quiche, and my all-time favorite, macaroni and cheese. For those of you who think Kerrygold just makes cheddar cheese, you have a whole world of deliciousness to discover. From Kerrygold's nutty and complex Dubliner cheese to their Gouda-style Blarney cheese and their Cashel Blue farmhouse cheese, a soft, special blue that I absolutely love. To learn more about Kerrygold and to find a store near you, head to kerrygoldusa.com. This episode is also supported by Brightland, a modern pantry essentials company that we love here at Cherry Bomb. Brightland was founded by Aishwarya Iyer, and she and her small but mighty team have built a beautiful company with consciously crafted products, from their original product in extra virgin olive oil to Brightland's fruit-forward vinegars and floral honey. Everything is sourced from family-run U.S. farms, is super fresh, and is truly delicious. A great introduction to the brand is the Mini Essentials Set, which features four of Brightland's best sellers, two extra virgin olive oils, plus a raw double fermented berry balsamic vinegar, and a raw double fermented citrus champagne vinegar, all made in California in small batches. You can order the Mini Essential Set direct from their website, brightland.co. There is a lot to discover and love on their site, including recipes, so be sure to visit. You also can find Brightland at your favorite specialty food shops. Now, let's check in with today's guest. Jeremy Allen White, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
I have to tell you, The Bear absolutely killed me. You and the team really nailed restaurant life and culture. I told you this earlier, but I used to own some restaurants, and I was sobbing. I don't even think I made it through episode 3. I think I had to shut it off halfway through, and I was just sobbing. And then I really thought I was going to have an aneurysm during episode 7.
Yeah, 7 is something. Yeah.
The editing and cinematography and the acting and everything on 7. 7's going to be the tough one for a lot of the restaurant folks to watch.
Sure, I'm sure. Our goal the whole time was just to make it as true to back of house as we possibly could. But I don't think I put that much thought into how much PTSD that might give people that have worked in back of house or still work in back of house. But I'm so happy. I'm so happy it rang true to you, because that was really the goal.
Every time I saw one of those invoices stamped overdue and then the Sharpie meltdown, I was like, damn.
The chit. I mean, that was something I talked to a lot of like cooks and chefs about. It's just that sound. They said they would have dreams of the tickets coming in and just hearing that sound. We had to use it all.
So how would you describe your character, Carmi?
He's gone through this incredible trauma and the loss of his brother. His identity is so wrapped up in being a chef and in being incredibly successful. And he's had so much success. But if you finish the whole season of the show, Carmi speaks a lot in the 8th episode about sort of like the history. They didn't overwrite anything. There's not that much like exposition in the show. And then things are kind of more well understood in the 8th episode. And you realize that Carmi's been chasing this forever. He loved his brother. His brother was good at this thing. He's had a chip on his shoulder his whole life. He's gotten very successful at this. His identity is completely wrapped up in this. And everything seems so life and death. It's like death or glory for him. He's put everything into this. If he can't succeed, his life is over. If he can't succeed, he'll have glory. Or will he? What is success when you're that hungry for success? He's a very young, talented chef that's coming home and then trying to fix this restaurant, family restaurant.
Have you ever worked in a restaurant before?
I've never worked in a restaurant, no.
You didn't even wait tables?
I got into acting when I was pretty young, like 14 or 15. I didn't have super early success or anything. I get like a commercial or like this or that. And I never had to do another job while I was acting. But I've spent an incredible amount of time now learning in restaurants it'll be almost a year that I've been really spending time in restaurants and kind of like staging in different places. Yeah.
And how about cooking? Is it true you didn't know how to cook before this?
I could do a couple things, but really my interest level was low. I like appreciated good food. I wasn't skilled in the kitchen at all.
Who did the cooking when you were growing up?
I would say my dad cooked a little bit more. Breakfast was really important for him. He made us like a big breakfast every day. It was never cereal and oatmeal. He made a big deal out of breakfast. Yeah.
Oh, tell us what he made.
It was always like really heavy. It was always cheese, eggs, potatoes, bacon, sausage, lots of toast, a really like classic sort of like American style breakfast. But he would do it consistently, like pancakes and waffles. And it was really nice. Yeah.
My breakfast was like a bowl of Sugar Smacks. And I think on the weekend, Entenmann's donuts.
Sure.
Jeremy, where did you grow up?
I grew up not far from where I am now. I'm in Williamsburg now. And I grew up in an area called Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn.
Where I live right now. What was it like when you were growing up?
I loved it. I live on Sackett Street, really close to Bond. And at the time, Bond Street was pretty empty. It was like right by the Gowanus Canal and just not a lot going on. And then I loved Smith Street and Court Street. They're really wonderful. Like even then, there were some really good restaurants and like nice cafes. I had a church on my corner. The bells would ring. Yeah, it was a really nice place to grow up.
I heard you went to culinary school for 2 weeks to prepare for the role. What was culinary school like?
I was so uncertain of myself stepping into this project in general because I knew it was so important to get all this stuff right. But they were supportive. I went with Io, who plays Sydney on the show. That was how I got to know her. The first time we met was in school, and us spending time together was really like just in there for 2 weeks until we started shooting. It was interesting to get to know somebody through that process of learning and also get to know somebody through the language of cooking when so much of how Sydney and Carmi communicate is also through cooking. So that was really, really wonderful. We had some great teachers there, but I remember telling them, I just need to feel comfortable. I'll never be as good as Carmi because he's sacrificed so much time and just put in so much effort. That's never going to happen. If I can look confident, that's all I need. So it was just a lot of repetition, a lot of knife work over and over again. I wanted to get comfortable with like frying pans. So they just had me flip eggs for a couple hours to really make it seem like I had a comfort and it was second nature. And then something that was important to me that I didn't learn so much at ICE, but through the process of spending time in other kitchens, was sort of like the movement. These kitchens are such small places and there's so many people in them. These chefs, they have a really graceful way of moving around each other. And that was something that was really important for me to capture. That was something I knew I could fake.
It's really such a dance in a kitchen. How did the show even originate? Tell us a little bit about Christopher, the creator, why he came up with the idea, why he wanted to do the show.
Chris Storer created the show. I think at one point he had it written as a film. I think he's had this idea in his head for maybe around 10 years. And for a time, it was a film. And then in the last couple of years, I guess FX took a look at it. Our producers, Nate and Hero, took a look at it, and they're like, we think this would be great as a TV show. So that's kind of how that started. But the story, I think, is really close to Chris. He grew up in Chicago. A lot of these characters, I think, are loosely based on some people he grew up with. I don't know how much he worked in kitchens, but he's a really wonderful chef. He is very talented. And his sister, Courtney Storer, is a really wonderful professional chef. She most recently, you know, was head chef at John and Vinny's in Los Angeles. She's really wonderful. So he always had an interest in the world. In the last, I guess, year and a half, things started coming together and we made it happen. But it's very much Chris's story he's been holding on to, I think, for a long time.
Yeah. And Courtney was essentially the culinary director on the show, right? And sort of head food stylist, would you say?
Her and Maddie Matheson were all over that. We had hot plates and stuff set up on another stage. So they'd all be sort of like cooking as we were cooking on stage. Everything worked, the kitchen they built on stage. So we could cook on everything. And it was actually great. And we did often for camera. But yes, they were kind of like food stylists. But also, I mean, for me, I just told them both, if you see me doing something in a scene that looks crazy or that doesn't ring true to you, just stop. Stop. Please say cut. And come in and let's figure it out. Because they're both so capable. I knew they could do that. And they did, which was so helpful.
So that was a set. I really thought you shot in a restaurant.
For the pilot, we shot in a restaurant. That's the other thing. I mean, that's the like sad thing. So we shot the pilot in July last year. There were so many spaces available because so many restaurants had closed, obviously. So we found like an empty kitchen that we could shoot in for the pilot. And then we shot our exteriors at The Beef, which is like a real Mr. Beef, which is a real restaurant in Chicago. And then we pretty much built the exact kitchen, though, from the pilot on stage for the rest of the series. But it was all functional. And it was still quite tight, but we gave ourselves like just a little bit more room for camera and stuff like that.
You also staged at some restaurants in addition to culinary school. Can you say which restaurants and what some of the highlights were?
My first day, I went to Republique, and I can't even really call it staging. I was really just like standing in a corner that day. I'd never been to a kitchen at that level. I felt very overwhelmed. It's such a big restaurant. The staff is so large. It was really, really overwhelming. They were all lovely. Chris Storer and Cooper Wade, who's a producer on the show as well, they had gone to a restaurant called Pasjoli in Santa Monica. The chef there, Chef Dave Brand, was a Chicago chef, and he worked at Alinea for a long time. And so they were like, okay, this guy's lived in Chicago for a long time. He understands food in Chicago. Why don't you go meet with him? So I went to Pasjoli, which is a really wonderful French restaurant, which recently got a Michelin star. I loved it there. It was like a lot more intimate. The crew there was a little bit smaller. Chef Dave was really, really lovely and patient with me. My first days there, I was doing prep. You can mess up here and there. It's not that big a deal. But then by the end, I was on the line and I was preparing food for guests.
Oh, you did?
I was surprised. They kind of like sprung it on me. I felt like I wasn't given much of a choice. I had to be pushed a little bit and it felt great. I had to trust myself and it all worked out. Nobody got sick or anything.
And sometimes that really happens in a restaurant. I mean, you're short staffed and you just have to throw somebody right in. Sink or swim, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Jeremy, what did you learn about chefs that you didn't know?
I think I was aware of this with chef, I didn't fully understand the sacrifice and commitment of time, the amount of time you have to work, the repetition. From my perspective, if you don't fully love this, why would you do it? And so those guys stick it out and they get to the next level and they have the success. I just have a tremendous amount of respect for the time, I think was really a surprise to me.
Knowing what you now know, has it changed your relationship with restaurants and how you dine?
While we were shooting the show, I've eaten in some really great places and I've tried to understand service in a different way. I'm a bit more of a tough critic than I was a year ago walking into a restaurant, depending on what the restaurant is, of course. But yeah, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot about how back of house works. And just from Maddie, too. I mean, Maddie's a restaurateur. He has, you know, so many restaurants in Toronto. So I've learned a lot about just the service industry as well. That was something that was really interesting to me. I feel like I can be a little bit of a punk sometimes walking into a restaurant now.
I want to talk about some of the other homework that you did. I know you read Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential to prep for the role. Just curious what you thought about that book and what you kind of brought or borrowed from Bourdain.
I really enjoyed the book. I'd read some of it before the show. What struck me, and I think what strikes everybody about him, passion, not only for kitchens and food, but for life. And I knew that Carmi needed that passion. He needed that drive. I needed to find something that he wanted so badly, because nobody just wants to watch a guy who's angry, shouting at everybody all the time. Like, there needs to be something there. I think what I really appreciated about the book and what I kind of like took away from it is it's just so nice to listen to somebody talk about how much they love this thing. And then I could try to just make Carmi love it.
I want to ask you about Chicago. I've been to Chicago a bunch of times. I'm not super well-versed in all things Chicago, but it's your second show based in Chicago, as all your fans know. First, I need you to bring me up to speed on this whole Chicago sandwich and Italian beef thing, because I don't know anything about that. So what can you tell me?
I don't know how long it's been going on, but it's having a bit of a renaissance now. Everybody's kind of trying different things, but the classic beef is thinly sliced beef on a roll. You can do sweet or hot peppers, and you could dip it or have it not dipped in the jus. And that's it. It's pretty simple. Different neighborhoods have different sandwich shops. It's almost where you eat your Italian beef in Chicago is like, you know, are you for the Cubs or for the White Sox? And people take a lot of pride in which one they like and where they like it from and stuff like that.
The show was a love letter to so many things, like chefs, restaurants, but it was definitely a love letter to Chicago. I mean, the scenes of Chicago were beautiful, the sense of community and family that the show taps into. How did you feel when you found out your second show would be based in Chicago?
I was excited. I think I had like a moment of hesitation thinking, my next thing right after Shameless, do I want to go right back to Chicago? But the story was too good to pass up, that that sort of environment became not as important to me. And then also, like, Chicago's a lovely city. If I'm going to spend more time somewhere, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not Chicago? And you're right. Like, Chicago does play such a big role in the show. And it's a beautiful city. I've spent not a tremendous amount of time there. I mean, the longest sort of extended period I'd been there was for The Bear. Because for Shameless, we would only go there for about a week or so at a time. And it was so great. Like, I feel like I had my experience with Shameless, and I understood that Chicago for what that Chicago was for me. And then I feel like I experienced a whole new one with this group of people and staying there for a longer time. It really feels like a different world now, like two different Chicagos.
Jeremy, I want to ask you about the other cast members, because this is such a tremendous ensemble piece. Had you and any of those folks ever worked together before?
Chris Storer produced a movie I did a couple of years ago, the creator of the show. So I knew him a little bit. I'd met Eben, who plays Richie, briefly. We have like a couple mutual friends, but never worked with him. And everybody else was pretty much brand new to me. We had a really wonderful casting director, Jeannie Bacharach. I just thank her, because we had about a week of rehearsal before the pilot, which isn't a lot of time, but you usually don't get any time. So it was really nice to have. And things fell into place pretty quickly. And also, when you're in that environment, it really drops you in. When you're in a functioning kitchen, it feels real. And everybody felt real so quickly. Yeah.
I'm rooting for you to get a second season for so many reasons, but especially because I want to know the backstories of all those characters in the kitchen.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think the plan, if we do get to do some more, is to also do some sort of like standalone episodes, maybe, where there could be like a entire episode that's sort of from Marcus's perspective, and we're just living in his world for an episode kind of thing. I hope that's something we get to do, because I think all the characters are so rich and interesting. Like, nothing's two-dimensional. Even the characters that didn't have a lot of time this season, the actors are so good that you still get it.
I was very happy to see the guys in the dish pit represented. And you know who I just absolutely loved? I mean, Sydney was fantastic. But the actor who plays Tina.
Yes, Liza. Yes.
Her journey through those 8 episodes.
She has a theater company here. She's been doing theater forever. Her husband's a really wonderful actor. Like, she's been doing this for a very long time. And I'm really excited. I'm hoping this is like the beginning of some more stuff for her.
No, yeah. She was fantastic. And you have some fun cameos in the show too. And these might be spoiler alerts. They might not be spoiler alerts, because if you haven't watched it, you might want to tune out for a minute or two. But I love seeing Oliver Platt in the show.
Yeah.
I wasn't even entirely sure that was him until the credits. And I was like, that was Oliver. Was that sort of an in-joke that he was in there because his brother is one of the most prominent restaurant critics in the country?
for folks who like, you know that sort of thing, yes, I think it was like a little bit of a wink. He almost like played a version of his brother, I guess, in, you know, Chef, which was that Jon Favreau movie too. So yeah, it was like he's very knowledgeable on food and service and stuff like that, just spending time with his brother, and he likes good meals. But yeah, we were so excited to have him. He's such a wonderful actor. He works on another show in Chicago, one of those Dick Wolf shows. So he spends so much time there, and they let us borrow him for a couple of days, and we felt very lucky.
He was great. The scene at his house, I was dying. I won't say anything more, but oh my God. And then another cameo, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that Molly was in there because the first, I think it was like maybe the first or first one and a half episodes, I kept thinking of The Breakfast Club because they film so much of The Breakfast Club right in the characters' faces.
Really tight, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that claustrophobic feeling that you get from, in a good way, The Breakfast Club, I felt like you really nailed in the first few episodes. And then all of a sudden, Molly Ringwald pops up and I was like, well, that's strange. I was thinking about The Breakfast Club and here's Molly.
Yeah, it was really cool. I might be getting this wrong, so forgive me, anybody who knows, but Eben, who plays Richie, his manager represents Molly. Molly's husband, I believe, is a publisher who was friends with Anthony Bourdain. And so there was even like a food connection somehow there as well. Like she read the script and was really supportive of the story and was like, yeah, I'll come do this monologue. And she was so wonderful.
You mentioned the movie Chef. Do you have some favorite food films?
The Big Night, I think, is like one of my all times. And then I feel like I have to mention Burnt. John Wells, who was our showrunner on Shameless, directed this movie Burnt with Bradley Cooper. I really enjoyed it, and I thought Bradley Cooper was wonderful. And I also found it interesting. It's kind of his second time playing a chef. He played, I guess, a version of Anthony Bourdain on a Fox show called Kitchen Confidential. Knowing that, I was interested why he wanted to kind of go back to that world.
Jeremy, what do you ultimately hope viewers take away regarding the world of chefs and small family-run restaurants?
It does take such commitment and passion and time, and the success rate is so slim. I want people to know how much these people are putting into these restaurants. What attracted me to the show was kind of this lonely man, or he seemed very lonely to me, Parmi. And over the course of the show, he really starts to be able to let people in. And all those sorts of stories will always resonate with me more than anything. I think it's so universal, somebody feeling alone and realizing they're not. So I hope that's something people can take away too.
And I can't let you leave without asking for a few of your favorite restaurants.
Here in New York, I really like Frankie's and Carroll Gardens. I really like Lupali. I like Pastorelli a lot. I like John and Vinny's. I like Pache in LA.
And what restaurants are on your bucket list?
Anglers is a place in LA that every chef, while I was working, that was their favorite place at the time. So I definitely want to go there. That's in Los Angeles. There's a place called Mother Wolf that just opened recently in Los Angeles that I really want to go to. That's a really wonderful chef from a restaurant called Felix on Abbotkinney in Venice. Lionel, who plays Marcus on the show, in his preparation, he did a lot of baking in Copenhagen at the bakery that sends all of their bread to Noma. One night, Lionel went with some of the staff from the bakery and they all ate at Noma. And I think that's something you have to try to do if you can.
Oh, that's wild. Noma got a lot of love in the series. And last question, if you could have anybody from the restaurant world do a cameo in a future season, who would it be?
You know what? I don't know. I'd love to have Pasta Grannies come and like be in an actual dream sequence with me rather than have me fall asleep watching them on TV. I think that would be really something. Yeah,
I love that. Fully support that. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much. I mean, again, what a tremendous show. I just hope everybody out there gets to watch it, and I hope we get lots of seasons. So beautifully played. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much to Jeremy Allen White for joining me. Check out his new show, The Bear, now streaming on Hulu. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our past interviews with other great food and film folks, like the one and only Stanley Tucci, and Julie and Julia food stylist Susan Spungen, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to Kerrygold and Brightland for supporting today's show. Radio Cherry Bomb is a production of Cherry Bomb Magazine. Sign up for our newsletter at cherrybomb.com. Our theme song is by the band Cha La La. Thank you, Joseph Hazen, studio engineer for Newsstand Studios at Rockefeller Center. And thank you to our assistant producer, Jenna Sadu. And thanks to you for listening. You're the bomb.